Gajai Samaveda Bhakta Tasha with him. Rajaha the king. Mahabhaga, O noble one. Bhagavan, the supreme personality of Godhead. Bhuta Bhavanaha, who is the original cause of the cosmic manifestation. Parityushyate, become satisfied. Vishvatma, the super soul of the entire universe. Tishtata, being situated. Nidjashasane, in his own governing situation. Translation, O noble one, if the king sees that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original cause of the cosmic manifestation, and the Supersoul within everyone is worshipped, the Lord will be satisfied. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It is a fact that the government's duty is to see that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is satisfied by the activities of the people as well as by the activities of the government. There is no possibility of happiness if the government or citizens have no idea of Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the original cause of the cosmic manifestation, or if they have no knowledge of Bhuta Bhavana, who is Vishwatma, or the Supersoul, the soul of everyone's soul. The conclusion is that without engaging in devotional service, neither the citizens nor the government can be happy in any way. At the present moment, neither the king nor the governing body is interested in seeing that the people are engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather, they are more interested in advancing the machinery of sense gratification. Consequently, they are becoming more and more implicated in the complex machinery of the stringent laws of nature. People should be freed from the entanglement of the three modes of material nature, and the only process by which this is possible is to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is advised in Bhagavad Gita. Unfortunately, neither the government nor the people in general have any idea of this. They are simply interested in sense gratification and in being happy in this life. The word nijashasane, in his own governmental duty, indicates that both the government and the citizens are responsible for the execution of Varnashram Dharma. Once the population or the populace is situated in the Varnashram Dharma, there is every possibility of real life and prosperity, both in this world and in the next. So, Tasya Ragya Mahabhaga Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavanaka Parityushyate Vishvatma Tishtato Nija Shasane. So, Om Gana Timirandasya Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So it's very interesting that in this verse, King Vena is being referred to in the beginning as Mahabhaga. Mahabhaga, of course, means a greatly fortunate one, or noble one, or greatly opulent one. So here, the Brahmanas are using the first methodology in dealing with enemies. There are different ways, according to Sandana Marka, of dealing with enemies. And the first thing you do is you speak nicely, you sweet words. Like if someone's your enemy, you say, oh, my dear, you don't say my enemy, but my dear whatever, you're so nice. You're so wonderful. You're so strong. You're so intelligent. You're such a good devotee. And actually, Prabhupada said, when we go on Sankirtan, we can say to people, you are so intelligent, this book is for you, only intelligent people. I used to do that too. When I would distribute Prabhupada's books, I would go and say, look, you're more intelligent than the rest of these people. That's why I chose you to give the book to. And the person would go, wow. Finally someone has recognized me. Right? Finally, because the whole life they're waiting for something like this to happen. And then they think, oh, you're my best friend, even though I just met them 10 seconds ago. So this is the first item. And then after that, there are other items that one can employ when dealing with people you're trying to convince or people are your enemies, such as a bribe. You give them some money. Just like if the police stop you in India. Just like one time, we were in Jagannath Puri. So we wanted to take our bus to the hotel. And it was prohibited. The police were standing there. No, you cannot go in this road. And so I told the devotee with me, go out and offer the police 100 rupees. And I said, but make sure, I said to all the devotees in the bus, lie down in your seats. Why did I say that? Because they were Western devotees. Because if the police had seen the white skins, they would have charged 1,000 rupees. So we all went like this in the seat, pulled our chadars over the head, all the ladies pulled the sari cover up like Muslims or something like that, burqas. And the police took 100 rupees and we were able to go all the way to the hotel with this big bus. And so the police were very happy and we also were happy. So that's bribery. And it works. And there's other methods, like beta, divide and conquer. Just like if you have two enemies, you want to get rid of them, but you don't want to fight them, so you have them fight with each other. Very good procedure. Let's say if Jai Jagadish and Rasa Bihari don't get along. Of course they do get along, but let's say if they didn't get along. I would go to Jai Jagadish and say, did you hear what Rasa Bihari said about you? You know, I'm like, such nasty things. I mean, he won't say that to your face, but woo. And then I go to Rasa Bihari and basically say the same thing. You know, Jai Jagadish is your enemy, you know. Just, he's planning a coup. And so then I just sit back and watch it all happen. After that. And they say, Hare Krishna, they're in Maya, you know, I didn't do anything. Sometimes you can have someone do your dirty work for you. Just like when Srila Gurudev was traveling, Srila Gurudev Tamal Krishnamurti was traveling around North America, he wanted to take all the brahmacharis from the temple. So he didn't do it himself. He had one of his assistants say, you know, to the brahmacharis, oh, why do you belong in the temple? You should be traveling with sannyasis. And then when he got accused, oh, are you doing this? He said, no, I'm not doing it. Because he was having someone else do it for us. So there's different methods you can employ. Actually, Prabhupada also employed different strategic methods. One time he was at Dainippon, which is the printer in Japan, you know, printing Prabhupada's books in Japan. And also Srila Gurudev was with him at that particular point. And Prabhupada, they were negotiating for the price for the books. So the Dainippon people, the printers, they said some real high price. And then Prabhupada said such a low price that it was just like they were having heart attacks there.
You know, the Prabhupada said, oh, you know, like they would say, we want $2 a book. And the Prabhupada said, oh, we'll give you 50 cents a book. And so they're going, no, Swamiji. And then Shiva Gurudev came in and said, look, I will make a deal between both of you. I'll be neutral. And so he said, okay, 75 cents per book. And they were relieved. So there's different you heard that story before? It's a famous story. So there's different methods of dealing with it. Sometimes even devotees have to use these methods in order to accomplish particular purposes. I mean, it's just, I mean, even there's an example in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of King Prataparudra wanting to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was refusing. So the devotees would go and speak sweet words to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to convince him to see Prataparudra Maharaj, which he didn't agree to anyway. But eventually by trick, when Prataparudra Maharaj was disguised, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agreed to see him. So, interesting stories. So anyway, so there's other methods of dealing with enemies, and the divide and conquer. Then there's the threat, like if you do this, sometimes the parents have to do that to the children, right? They say, Arjuna, if you don't chant your rounds, no prasadam today. So he goes, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Oh, good boy, you chanted all your rounds. But actually, he just wanted to eat. It had nothing to do with chanting. I know you didn't do that, but I mean, just say this. And then, finally, there's something called argumentum ad vaculum, which means the stick. Or in this particular case, the Brahmin is there trying all these different methods, and eventually they end up killing King Vena. So they are presenting something very interesting to King Vena here. First of all, they're talking about Varnashram. And Varnashram means, we described this yesterday, means everybody has a duty according to their psychophysical nature. But they're also pointing out that Varnashram is meant, samsidhir hritoshanam, which is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Varnashram is meant to please the God, Krishna, Vishnu. It's not meant simply do your duty, you know, be a nice brahmachari, grahastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, or whatever it is, and don't please Krishna. You know, that's ridiculous. But it's meant to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the problem is with King Vena, is that he thinks he's God. Just like we have so many people coming from India who think they're God, right? Like Prabhupada would say, there is a different God coming from India every week. When Prabhupada was present, there were so many gods coming. Satchasai God, Guru Maharaji God, so many different gods were coming. Just all nonsense. So here Vena is thinking, and there are some quotes that he can misuse. For example, it's said that all the demigods are manifest through the king, right? There is that particular quote in the Vedic literature. It doesn't mean the king is all the demigods. It means he's empowered by God and the demigods. There's an interesting story in the pastimes of Ramanujacharya. Actually, it was before Ramanujacharya. That Jamunacharya. Okay, it was Jamunacharya. Jamunacharya was actually challenging a pundit. And he said to the pundit, you should prove, basically, prove that the queen is unchaste. Remember the story? So the pundit was scared. He didn't want to prove the queen was unchaste because she was married to the king. And so Jamunacharya, this great acharya, came before Ramanujacharya in the Sri Sampradaya, said, I can prove it. How can I prove it? Because the queen is married to the king, and the king is a manifestation of all the demigods, so she's married to all the demigods, 33 million of them. So that's pretty unchaste. I mean, a woman can have five husbands, that's okay, Pandavas. Not nowadays. Incidentally, I was telling Rasa Bihari and some of the other devotees, the reasons the Pandavas were all married to the same wife is so they would get along with each other. Otherwise, it would be a problem. You know, one wife would say, hey, why do you have to listen to him? And then, boom, so many conflicts. I mean, even you find sometimes there was a conflict between, in the beginning, between Subhadra and Draupadi. Draupadi would not let Arjuna back in the palace because Subhadra was with him. So it was necessary in that case, not in every case. So the king is considered basically to be a manifestation, or he's empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and all the demigods. But he is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's not the demigods. So later on, in this particular chapter, we find Vena, who is chastising the Brahmins, saying, don't you understand? I'm all the demigods and everybody get their power from me. Which is the opposite of what the scriptural injunction is. And as a result, that's it. Gets killed. So it's very important, the point I wanted to make today, it's very important in Varnashram to understand that Varnashram is meant for pleasing Krishna. So I'm going to relate a pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that indicates that Varnashram is just a secondary principle. It's just a sub-religious principle. Now, we have religious principles and sub-religious principles. Like, sub-religious principles are like what's taught in the Christian church, basically. What? Do not kill. Honor your father and mother. These are good things, right? Does anyone disagree? Should we kill? Should we dishonor our father and mother? No. Don't covet. Don't commit adultery. You know, all these are nice statements. However, if you're dealing with high-class people, you don't need to talk about them, right? Like if I was mentioning last night, if I'm dealing with a lady whose whole life has been chanting Hare Krishna and, you know, never broken the principles and she's 85 years old from a high-class culture, I'm probably not going to ask you to recite the four regulative principles. You know, can you imagine an old lady, like 90 years old, what are the four regulative principles? No one looks at sex. Huh? No intoxication. No gambling. And her whole life has never eaten meat. So, you know, it's ridiculous. The four regulative principles, we mention them because we're dealing with people who have broken them. Even here in Fiji, so many of you have eaten chicken before. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Before Krishna consciousness, your next life would have been chickens. Instead of chanting Hare Krishna, you would have been going cock-a-doodle-doo. Right? I mean, if it wasn't for Prabhupada, you'd be running around roosters, you know. And chickens, and then we would find you in, this KFC? You know what KFC is? You have that here? What? Okay, we'd find you in the chicken store, in the supermarket. All of you would be sitting there with your legs tied in the supermarket. So that's, and then before Krishna consciousness, practically all of you were taking kava. Not everyone. Even you went to the Ramayan Mandalis. And to celebrate Lord Ram's appearance, you were taking kava all night. And Lord Ram was very pleased with you for doing it. I know, I'm just teasing. So many things were going on. So that's why we have the four regulated principles. I don't believe when Prabhupada took initiation, he actually had to recite the four regulated principles. I don't think so. It was just chant Hare Krishna. So for anyway, for lower class people. So that's called the sub-religious principle. And it's necessary. Sometimes devotees forget about that. They think that they're so elevated, they forget about the sub-religious principles, right? They think, oh, I'm such a great devotee, I'm absorbed in Krishna prema, therefore I can disrespect my parents, therefore I can do anything. I'm an avaduta. You know what an avaduta is? An avaduta, I mean, Uttama Adhikara, yes, he doesn't have to follow any rules. However, at the same time, he can't preach. He doesn't preach. Uttama Adhikara, he doesn't preach unless he steps down to the Majjhima platform. And when he comes to the Majjhima platform, he acts perfectly. We mentioned that last night. So anybody who's preaching has to act perfectly, or anybody who's not a pure devotee has to act perfectly. Someone who's a pure devotee, they're always remembering Krishna. So anyway, so you have these sub-religious principles, but actually the sub-religious principles without the higher principles are useless. What's the use? Like Prabhupada said, monkeys are vegetarians, right? So monkeys, of course, follow one regulated principle. No, I think they follow two. How many? Maybe three. They don't gamble. I've never seen a monkey playing dice, have you? I've never seen, you know, monkeys, some monkeys are vegetarians. You know, they'll eat a lot of bananas. You go to Vrindavan and you see these monkeys, they love bananas. If you carry a bag, a plastic bag with you, it'll be grabbed out of your hand in a second, right? You ever have that happen? They look for plastic bags. One time, I was carrying some bananas in a plastic bag, first time I went there, and all of a sudden the bag just disappeared. And I started screaming at the monkey, I was making faces, and he got scared of me, and they dropped the bag. And gave me, what? The glasses. Well, the reason they steal the glasses is because they want to trade them in for bananas or some food. They're trained up like that. So anyway, so Prabhupada said, basically the monkeys are already vegetarians. So what's the use of being just a vegetarian? We're Krishnarians. In other words, we eat food offered to Krishna. Even if you're a vegetarian and you eat food not offered to Krishna, you're eating sin, Krishna says in the Gita. So we should be we should be Krishnarians, offering food to Krishna. So anyway, so there's a discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy about these different principles. So we have to understand the higher principles, lower principles, follow them all, obviously. So once upon a time, on the banks of the Godavari River in India, Lord Chaitanya was taking the position of being a student, and Ramananda Roy was taking the position of being the professor, the teacher. So Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Roy, what is the ultimate goal of life and the means to attain it? And Ramananda Roy said, Varnashram. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, that's simply external. There must be some other means. And then Ramananda Roy went further into the Bhagavad Gita, Yat Karoshi, Yat Ajnashi, Yat Jahoshi, Dadasi, Yat. Yata pashasi kantiya tat kurishwamanarpan. And whatever you offer, whatever you give away, should be done as an offering to me. And Lord Chaitanya said, all right, but that's still, we see many materialistic people doing that. Just like you have here at Satyanarayan Katha, right? You've heard of this before? You offer to Krishna, and you hear these stories about how someone who served Krishna, they become wealthy. Just like in our Suva temple, we have very nice pictures of Sudama Brahman that encourages people to give donations. Because they say that Sudama Brahman offered Krishna some old rice, right? And what did he get as a result? A mansion, a swimming pool, a car, everything, and servants. I'm just putting it in modern context. So, or the other nice picture they have in Suva is the fruit seller, right? You know the story about the fruit seller? So she offered Krishna some fruit. Krishna just had little grains that basically slipped away through his hands. Then she looked in her basket. What was there? Jewels. Wow, let me come to the Hare Krishna temple. This is pretty good business. It's better than working in FSC. Isn't it? I mean, wow. Jewels. I mean, oh, Jai. Radhavindavan Chandra ki Jai. Radhavindavan Chandra ki Jai. Give me, here's some fruit. Where are my jewels? So Lord Chaitanya sort of, he said, well, you know, you got to go higher than this. This is not very high. This is, you know, materialistic. Materialistic devotees. Karma, Mishra, Bhakti. So then Ramananda Roy says, well, a higher principle is to renounce everything and do your duties for Krishna. And, you know, and Lord Chaitanya rejected this too. He said, look, this is, first you're talking about karma mishra bhakti, now you're talking about jnana mishra bhakti, where you're trying to renounce and give up this world. This is not a very high platform. So go higher. And then Ramananda Roy then starts to talk about the real thing. He says, pure devotional service. And there's the quote from this verse in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Navritam Anukulyena Krishna Nushilanam Bhakti Rutamam. That's the goal. Lord Chaitanya says, that's right. But let's go even higher than that. So it's important to understand this what we call a hierarchy, or these steps up. And then Ramananda Roy says, ecstatic love for Krishna, intense love for Krishna in neutrality. So we're going to go up through the rasas. Neutrality means, oh, Krishna, you're so beautiful, you're so nice, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. That's good. You know, that's a good step. However, you don't do service for Krishna. Of course, some of the neutrally situated personalities in the spiritual world do service, like the trees, they do service. They're actually in the Shanta Ras, but it's mixed with the other rasas. So Lord Chaitanya says, you know, go higher, that's good. What's more? And then you go through the rasas. Servitude. Of course, serving Krishna. And then go higher. And then after that, friendship. And like intimate friendship, where you can actually become Krishna's friend and slap him on the back. Can you imagine that? It's like, you're such friends with Krishna, you just say, hey, Krishna, that was a good joke. Something like, you're not afraid of him anymore because you forget that he's God. That's like Prabhupada said one time, even if Krishna is not God, we love him. Of course, Krishna is God. But the residents of Vrindavan, they don't care. They just love Krishna. And sometimes when Krishna shows that he's God by showing every universe within his mouth to Yashodamayi, then Krishna doesn't like her attitude at that point when she becomes reverent. He says, let's pull Yogamaya over her. So the devotees are under the influence of Yogamaya. And so then there's friendship, parental love, and finally, conjugal love, the love of the gopis. And then Lord Chaitanya says, go further. And then he talks about Srimati Radharani's love, and eventually he says, go further. He talks about Vipralamba Seva, worshipping Krishna, Radharani worshipping Krishna in the mood of separation. So in this way, it's important to understand all these steps. All these steps are necessary. You don't reject the preliminary steps when you go to a higher step. In other words, even when you come to the platform ecstatic love or conjugal love or whatever, you still follow the rules and regulations very strictly. That was the point I wanted to make. You still follow the sub-religious principles. You still honor your father and your mother. You still don't take intoxication. These rules always have to be followed. Of course, they're followed spontaneously. Anyway, so this is an important discussion. And here, in this particular part of the Bhagavatam, Vena may be in favor of Varnashram, but not Varnashram that's centered on God, but centered on him. And that's called Asura Varnashram. That means demoniac Varnashram. So we should have godly Varnashram, which is what we're interested in. Society should be functioned so that everyone is serving Krishna by the fruits of his activities. So, any questions or comments? Questions, comments, arguments, problems, political intrigue? No questions? No? Prashna? Yeah, yeah, put your mind on. Yeah. Twelfth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, yeah. Yeah, because Krishna is merciful. Yeah. The divine qualities are evidence of bhakti. Yasyasti bhakti, bhagavacha kinchana, savarga nashtatra samasute sura. You can't try to acquire the divine qualities, or you won't be successful, unless you actually do it by being a devotee. There, there's mukya and gona. They're indirect manifestations of bhakti. But mukya, the direct manifestation, is nyabhilashatashunyam jnana karma navratam. So in the 12th chapter of the Gita, which you mentioned, this is for people who can't think of Krishna. You know, Krishna says, think of me always. And you say, can't do it, Krishna. And they say, well, if you can't do that, follow the rules and regulations of bhakti yoga. If you can't do that, be a little detached. You know, so we can, that's for preaching to people out there. You know, it's understandable that many, if not most of the people, are not going to be able to follow the principles of bhakti yoga. We'd like them to follow the principles, but you've got to be practical. Okay, so then do some work for Krishna. Offer the results of your work to Krishna. And then ultimately you'll come up to that point. It begins. Bahunam janmanamante ganavamam prapajate. It takes many lifetimes. Just like we were, of course, we were going around here with Nanda Kishore, and we were hearing how he planted the seed for many people to come to Krishna consciousness, right? Many, many years ago. Like over 20-something years ago, whatever. He was here. And the seeds are starting to sprout. Or they're completely sprouted. Some of them have borne fruit. Some of the seeds have gone back to home, back to Godhead already, right? So when he was here, he didn't, may not have seen all the results. So while we're going out and contacting people, obviously, you know, we can go and say surrender to Krishna, and very few people are going to walk out of their house and say, okay, I surrender. You know, very few people. But you're starting there, you're planting the seed. Brahmanda Brahmate, Konna Bhagivan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Bhai Bhakti Lata Bish. You're planting the creeper or the seed of devotion. And it will fructify, maybe in 10 years. You know, maybe in 10 years we'll come back and find, wow, look at all the devotees. Millions of devotees here. Okay, there's no millions, but anyway, whatever. You know, Nityananda Hall will be too small. People will be flying out the windows. We'll have so many. Maybe. But, or maybe next lifetime. Or maybe two lifetimes or three lifetimes. So our business is to present Krishna consciousness in a way that people can accept it. All right, give the fruits to Krishna. You know, drive your bus for Krishna and take the devotees on Harinam. Fantastic. And we should appreciate at each step that someone is at, we should thank them and appreciate, because we are so happy to see people engage in devotion. Even if a person opens a door up for a devotee, that's the beginning of his devotional service. Isn't that? That's so nice. So we are planting seeds everywhere. Just like in America, there was this famous person. His name was Johnny Appleseed. course, probably no one's heard of him. So originally in America, there are no apples. That's a disaster, no apples. Here, you don't have any apples here either, but they all come from New Zealand or America. So there were no apples. So what this person did, he was very intelligent. He had a giant bag of seeds. And he would walk. There were no trains or planes or boats at that time. He'd walk all over America throwing the seeds around. And as a result of that, there are so many apples. So many apples that most of them are not even picked. We have to bring people from Mexico to pick the apples. Because the Americans are too lazy to pick apples. So, I mean, that just from him planting the seeds. And that's like 150, 200 years ago that happened. So we are doing the same thing. We are Krishna seeds. Krishna, what is seeds, you know? Bijas, you know, whatever. And so we're going around planting all these seeds around. And even if people don't like it that you're chanting sometimes, that's, you're planting the seed, and they'll become devotees. Just like you had this devotee who was living next to the temple in Devi Lambasa. You remember? Madan Gopal. And he hated the devotees. And he would put chickens outside, you know, dead goats outside of his house just to harass the devotees. You remember they had a kirtan? Does anyone remember that?
Yes.
He put like dead animals hanging outside. Ha ha ha. I'm Ravana. And he wouldn't let his wife and children go to see the Hare Krishna temple. They were living right next to the temple. But he was hearing, like Jagai and Madai, they were drunk too. This guy was drunk too. Kaba and everything. And Jagai and Madai, while they were outside the kirtan, they were going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Like that. And by doing that, they got purified, right? So in the same way, this Madan Gopal, he was outside, you know, Hare Krishna. I hate those Hare Krishnas. I don't want to hear you chant Hare Krishna anymore. Stop chanting Hare Krishna. So he was doing that, but he was chanting. And now he's a great devotee. So we're doing that. We're planting seeds. And even if people don't like it, skinning a goat in front of the people, in front of the devotees. Can you imagine that? Yeah. But still, he was chanting.
Then we asked him later. Myself and my last day went together. It is Brenda preaching. Go, a long time. And my friend, my forefathers used to do so many sacrifices, gold and steel and things like that. After a long time, when he came to Hare Krishna, and I asked him, he used to call me Anta. I said, my son, what about that thing you were telling me before? I was mad.
He was mad. He was mad. I mean, he was eating pigs. You know what, I was just listening to a class of Prabhupada this morning. Prabhupada was saying that a pig is called a vidbhujang. I mean, he eats stool. And he becomes very fatty. And people who eat pigs, same thing happens. So imagine, and in India, the pigs are picking up the stool from the ditches. And I've seen people come to Govardhan to collect the pigs to sell them to meat eaters. Incredible, isn't it? Even the Muslims know not to eat pigs. But he was eating. But by chanting Hare Krishna, now become a great devotee, right? What's that?
Swine flu
came from pigs. And bird flu came from birds. Right?
Mad cow.
Comes from cows eating, you know, they fed cows meat. You know, so many diseases come from eating the meat. So anyway, so by chanting, he became a great devotee. And now he's one of the best devotees. His children are all devotees, and it happens. It works. So we should go around planting the seed. I have one disciple. She came here, actually, to Lambasa one time. Her name is Mano Harini Radha. And she goes around forcing people to say Gauranga. She works as a social worker, and she tells her clients, what's the magic word? They say, Gauranga, Gauranga. And then they become devotees after some time. That's our secret. In like a pin, out like a plow. So I think we have to end now because it's time for prasad. Oh no, but Guru Puja. Guru Puja, I always reveal what I'm thinking about. But anyway, so it's time for worshiping Srila Prabhupada, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Gurudev. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.